Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Syndication is really just a group who are pooling resources for a common goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when it crosses over into the world of securities laws is when you start bringing in passive investors.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick Senzio, host of the Jake and Gino podcast with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Gino Barbagino, how's it going?
Stenziano, I know why you're fired up this morning.
Tell me.
Because usually when we talk with lawyers and attorneys, it gets you chapped, but not this attorney, because this attorney is amazing.
I got a couple. I got like two, three that I just, you know, in my corner, okay? And then it's okay. You know, I keep a small roster here. So, you know, that's how it goes.
Hit me
anyways, Gino's spawn here. Today's guest is the founder of Syndication Attorneys PLLC. She focuses on helping small business owners structure their investment opportunities in a way that will attract private investors. We are happy to announce she will be joining us on the big stage, the built-in, the Grand Pumba at Multifamily Mastery for this October 23rd and 24th in Orlando. Listen, it's the real estate conference of the year. It's Gino. What do you like to call it, Gino?
It's the financial vacation for smart people. That's what it is, Jake.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. The financial vacation for smart people. So you better be there. A couple tickets left. Gino had to upgrade and we got some seats. So what are we shooting? 900, you think? You gonna hit 900?
We have 700 sold and we can fit up to 900. We've got a little more than a month to go. And what I love about this, it's about proximity. And it's not just you're out there and networking and meeting people, raising capital. We're actually teaching. That's why we've got Kim speaking there, because Jake knows nothing about the syndication. He wants to keep it down the fairway. So we need the expert there. We need the expert to teach our students. There's so many changes going on. And that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast. But right now, 700 people, 800 people in a room, all with multiple.
Now we're going to nine. All right. So Gino, you got the Grand Pumba. You got Miss Kim Taylor here. Now, Kim, I want to hear from you. This is a question I love to ask people before we get into it. How is business going out there? Are you seeing a pickup, a slowdown? Are you rocking and rolling? I mean, look,
busiest year ever for us.
Wow.
Stock market may be diving, but you got to put that money into a hard asset, right? So they're calling Kim here.
And it's crazy because, you know, the market's tight, but people are still finding deals that they think make sense.
Yeah.
So what you just said there, they're finding deals that they think make sense. What are you seeing out there as far as risk? You've been doing this for a lot of years. You've written, I don't know, you can go through the numbers, hundreds.
She's got all the books behind her right there, Gina. She wrote all those.
Yeah.
For the folks on YouTube, all right?
Folks, the one that helps you stay out of jail.
So what are you seeing right now that, you know, as far as you, as far as assessing risk, what's going on in the market right now?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I don't look, you know, I don't see all the underwriting that everybody does. I just know what they're offering their investors. And, you know, time will tell whether that comes to fruition. But we're still seeing people offering 70-30 splits and 8% preferred returns. Starting to see some people go down to 6 or 7% preferred returns. Seeing some people go away from preferred returns altogether, going to 70-30 splits. I've got some clients that
interesting. How many have you seen many of those?
Not very many, but a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did they have any trouble raising those folks that did it?
Well, I think you just have to show them in your pro forma how long it's going to take before they get to that 70% share. I have some other clients that are just in preferred return first year because they think they're going to be there after the second year. And, you know, I mean, we used to be in a 60-40 world when I started doing this back in 2008. We were writing a lot of 60-40 deals. Now, you know, that world has gone away. I don't see that unless somebody's doing single family fix and flips, something like that, then they're still kind of doing the 50-50 splits. But Yeah, I don't know. And I've heard predictions that there's going to be another, you know, market crash and all the COVID deferrals that were or forbearances that were put into place. And when those forbearances,
you're talking more single family houses, right?
Single family stuff.
You can't even, they can't be evicted right now. They can't be foreclosed on right now. So
But that's going to all end. Yeah. And when it does end, what happens with those forbearances is it's not like you can just start resuming your payments again. You have to make all that up.
Ketchup, right? They got the ketchup. Yeah, who knows about ketchups?
You can't pay, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 that you're behind on your mortgage and catch it up. Then you have to requalify. Well, if you haven't been working, you know, for all this time because you've been taking the payoffs, then you know, those people
are. I got to call quick time out because I had an epiphany last week, and this is very important in what you're touching on right now. So people got a bunch of COVID payments, you know, from the government, whatever the hell you want to call them, unemployment, stimulus, whatever the hell it was, right? And then they stop working because there's a labor shortage right now. I think anyone that with a pulse sees it everywhere they go, hiring. I have a property management company. I hire a lot of folks, right? What I'm hearing from people that are trickling back in is that they were sustaining, you know, one way or another on what they were doing. They left because of COVID, whatever. But then they got this gig economy kind of thing paired with government subsidies, and they've been able to sustain, but now they're starting to kind of come back out of the shadow. So it's very interesting to see because I've been scratching. I said, where the hell are these people? Right. So many people that have been interviewing said, well, I've been delivering for this or delivering for that. And you have a master's degree, and it's just mind blowing to see some of the backgrounds, but they've elected to go this route. So just a little insight for folks that may not be you know, on the front lines there, because I found it fascinating. But
someone told me that Amazon hired them all.
Trying, right?
I would not be
along with us. So
Kim, I'm going to share a story with the listeners of why they need to hire a syndication attorney and who they need to look for. But let me tell the story first, and then I will let you piggyback off that story. So when we first did our first syndication a few years ago, we set up a call with Kim Lisa Taylor. It was a Wednesday afternoon. It was a 5 p.m. call. And I thought, an hour. It's going to be an hour, this call. So I get on my golf cart, got my fishing pole, got the kids in the golf cart.
You know, it's hot rod.
Over 2 hours later, we're still on this call. And I'm like, I can't believe this thing.
Julie is going, Gina, what the hell's going
on? Lasted so long. I'm like, I want to go fishing, right? The moral of the story is, it's not just a PPM. It's not just an operating agreement. It's about the structure. And Jake and Gino didn't.
Let's be honest. I was the problem on that call. I had too many questions, right? You know, I'm a little thick. So,
but that's okay. I'm just as thick as you. And that's what it comes down to. You know, it's price versus value. And I was looking at a Bigger Pockets thread the other day, and somebody's like, hey, you know, what would you pay for a syndication attorney? Save the money, get a boilerplate, do it yourself. First of all, if you're thinking like that, please shut off the show and don't ever listen to Jake.
I can't read
Gino
more than two
again.
Paragraphs. I'd be screwed.
Just don't do that. That's the worst possible advice to do. And for me, the comfort knowing that I can pick up the phone, call Kim whenever you have a question, ask about a structure, ask about splits, there's comfort in that. And that's part of the value that
you're not a syndication expert, Gino. I'm not a syndication expert. You need to have an expert on your team. This is a team sport. I say it time and time again. I'm sorry, you get me fired up here. Multifamily is a team sport. You can't be an expert at everything.
So I couldn't go fishing that day, but I made it.
And now look, your life's ruined. You couldn't go fishing because of it, you know?
So
just imagine if you're trying to edit a boilerplate like a dumbass, right?
Well, I mean, I may be in jail. So Kim kept me out of jail with that phone call. So for my question, Kim, is, you know, what should an investor look for when they're looking for a Kim Lisa Taylor? They're looking to find a syndication attorney.
Well, so here's what a syndication attorney can do for you. And I actually have a little, you know, thing that if anybody's interested in it and wants to see it, it's called the top five mistakes people make when drafting their own syndication docs. But what we can do for you is make sure that you have the right tax structure, both for you and your investors. If you set it up wrong, then you're going to get taxed at ordinary income rates on all of your income, including your profit share. And that could be bad for you. You can't even set it up so badly that all the investors get taxed at ordinary income rates on all of their profits. And so if you set it up correctly, then you can set it up so that at the appropriate time when you go to sell the property, those profits can be taxed at capital gains rates. But if you don't do that planning in advance and have the right language in the documents, that's not going to happen.
It's not what you make, it's what you keep, right?
Right, exactly, right. Improperly allocating depreciation. Okay, that could come back to bite you. You could end up audited. Everybody could end up, all of your investors could end up audited. You need to make sure that you're doing that in accordance with the correct tax law, not using cost segregation and not in the appropriate language in your documents that says you can. Could preclude you from doing that. That could cost you a lot of money. The core ownership structure, you know, naming yourself as the manager of a syndicate, exposing all of your assets to personal liability if you ever get sued by the investors. You know, so there's ways that we can segregate liability, you know, separating your employees from you as the asset managers, you know, keeping the investors safe. So if we structure it correctly, that all happens. Making sure we're structuring it correctly for the lender, because the lender has a very specific thing they want to see as far as who's guaranteeing their loans. Mm-hmm. And if you don't structure your management entity correctly, then they're going to require you to give up all your ownership interests to the loan guarantors. So you end up getting a lot less, they end up getting a lot more. And, you know, so we've got to be able to, we can structure around that, but you need to talk to somebody who understands that in order to make that happen. A lot of our clients make the mistake of not paying themselves enough. Okay. So there's some groups out there that are advocating that investors have to get all their money back and all their returns before you get anything. Well, I hope you have another source of income for the next 4 or 5 years, because
it's a job in itself. Like, focus on that for a second. This is a job within itself. We have a syndication arm. It is its own entity that has an individual that's responsible for it, not Gino and myself. Okay. It requires time and effort.
Yeah, it's a huge job. And, you know, anybody that wants to know more about that should read the article on our website called Class B Catch-Ups Explained. So we always advocate that you don't do just a split and then, you know, or you give a preferred return to your investors and then take the split. So you get 30% of whatever's left. Well, that's the worst possible position to put yourself in. There's a better way that you can do this so that it's fair for the investors. It's fair for you. You make a lot more money. It doesn't affect their returns very much. But if you don't talk to somebody with experience, you're not going to know about that, and you're going to do it the wrong way. You know, let's see. So being careful to expose your personal assets. I have people that go and spend thousands of dollars with asset protection attorneys, and then they put their asset protection entity into the management of a syndicate. It's the worst thing you can possibly do, because now you've just taken all the assets and you've protected them very nicely for the investors who might sue you later if your deal goes bad. Mm-hmm. You know? So you've got to be careful about where you put those asset protection entities, and you're not going to know that if you're just using somebody's boilerplate and you're not getting that kind of advice. Using the wrong terminology, people who do their own documents constantly mix up terminology. They, you know, they make themselves a limited partner in an LLC, which doesn't have partners, you know, and it tags you as amateur. Right, because any investors, first of all, who have done this a few times, they probably know the right terminology, and they're looking at you like you don't know what you're talking about. And any other attorney that ever gets a hold of your documents says, lawsuit target, right? This guy's going to be easy to sue. He wrote his own documents. I actually had that situation where somebody had gone to a class on syndication, thought they were super smart, went back and wrote their own documents. And later on, it was somebody else came to me that was in their deal and said, we got to get rid of this guy. And we were able to use their documents to get rid of them because of the way that they had written it.
Scary.
Scary. So,
dumbass.
Yeah, that's what I would say. You got to be careful. You know, people.
Careful or just take a few simple steps to protect yourself. Come on.
You really just need to get expert advice. It's like, you know, are you gonna take your kid to you know, a general practitioner if he's got an issue with his brain? You know, you're gonna go to a brain surgeon. You know, go to the right people to get the job done, or you know, you can expect poor results.
What I would do, everybody, go to syndicationattorneys.com. Kim has got a treasure trove of articles on there. We could spend hours talking about every single one of their articles. So it's syndicationattorneys.com. And I would also go online for all the YouTubers out there. Pick up this book. It's an easy book to read. Usually syndication books are like, you're like watching paint dry, but this is an excellent, well-written book. It's really for the active investor and the passive investor. It's an easy book to understand. Kim, we should have started out. Jake got me all fired up with the attorney thing. Let's define a syndication.
You got yourself fired up. I'm just sitting here. Come on, dude.
Dude, it's that energy. You give me the energy that they, you know, let's talk about what a syndication is. Cause a lot of students I see, a lot of people out there get together, seven or eight or nine people, they don't even know their creating syndication. And so what do they need to look at? I would tell everyone the Howey test, citrus, orange, and Howey test. That's where you really take a look, but, you know, drill it down
for us. You guys are talking treasure troves and fruit now. It's got to be because you're both in St. Augustine. Is this what's going on here? It's maybe. Like it's in your brain. Yeah.
Well, so a syndication is really just a group who are pooling resources for a common goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when it crosses over into the world of securities laws is when you start bringing in passive investors. So that's where the orange groves and the fruit trees come in.
Okay.
Because there is a Supreme Court decision from 1946 that involved an orange grove operator who wanted to bring in investors, but he had the idea that he was going to keep harvesting the oranges.
It had to be in Florida, right?
It was in a place in Florida called Howey in the Hills. It's an okay. Actual, right? And yeah, I actually looked at that town once because there was like a building for sale. I'm like, oh man, I should buy that building, put a law office there, right?
That'd be great.
Perfect for a syndication company. Yeah.
On a lake, and there was the Orange Grove operations right there. But anyway, what happened was that the Orange Grove operators eventually said, we're not going to do this anymore. So they started, you know, sending letters out to their investors saying, you know, here's your plot of land, here's your trees. And people said, no, that's not what we bought. We bought something called an investment contract where you're supposed to continue to harvest oranges and share the profits with us, went all the way to the Supreme Court. Until that time, the words investment contract had been in the definition of securities, which is in the Securities Act of 1933, but it hadn't been defined. So nobody really knew what it was. So this case law was that went all the way to the Supreme Court was what ultimately decided what constitutes an investment contract. And it's an investment of money in a common enterprise with an expectation of profits based solely on the efforts of the promoter. So to have an investment of money in a common enterprise with an expectation of profits, and you could do that as a joint venture, but where it crosses over the line and becomes a security is when the efforts of the promoter, those are the people that are going to be running the show. They're going to be making all the decisions. They found the property. They're conducting the due diligence. They're going to be sharing the profits with these investors. Investors are just passively investing. That's when you've crossed into the realm of securities, and now you have to follow securities laws. And what that means is that you either have to register the offering, get pre-approval from regulatory agencies, which is long and expensive, or qualify for an exemption from registration. There's several exemptions, but the most common one everybody uses is Regulation D, Rule 506. It's a federal exemption, preempts all the individual state laws. You just have to follow this one set of rules, but the rules dictate who can invest in your deal, what kind of financial qualifications they have to have, whether or not you need to look at their financial qualifications, and whether or not you can advertise. And there's two options under that rule. One allows advertising, doesn't allow advertising, the kind of the friends and family exemption. And that's the one that would allow you to bring in non-accredited investors. So that's kind of where people are. And that's where all these documents come in, right? Because one of the requirements when you're selling securities is you disclose all the material facts. Everybody needs to make informed consent. And that comes from the private placement memorandum.
So Kim, when I'm looking at it from a limited partner, I'm an LP in a deal. We're always talking about the active investors and the GP side. If I'm a limited partner, I'm looking to invest in Jake and Gino's deal or anybody else's deal. How would you advise a limited partner? What should they be doing looking in a deal?
Well, first, they should probably read my book. I actually wrote a chapter in that book specifically for people who are investing in other people's deals. And it's the end chapter because I felt that it was important that people who are investing in these deals read a book to understand what the people they're investing with should be doing. Mm-hmm. And that way, when they're looking at the documents, they can kind of look for those things. And if they're not seeing them and you're seeing that somebody's structured something as and calling it a joint venture, but it has 20 investors in it, and they're all passively investing, it's not a joint venture. You now know that because you read the book and you're educated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the best thing you can do is get educated. You know, go to Jake and go to your event, you know, go to your multifamily mastery event, because I see a lot of investors at those events who are there to educate themselves and learn how, you know, what they should or shouldn't be looking for and to meet other people that are actually doing it correctly.
So Kim, Jake doesn't read more than two paragraphs. He's a limited partner. He's got $500,000 he wants to invest in a deal. Would it be wise for him to come to a Kim Taylor and say, Kim, I'm investing this deal. I'm putting a significant amount of money. Can you read these documents and work through these documents with me? Is that another way that I can leverage a syndication attorney?
Yeah, we've done that for people before. I would suggest that you hire two people in that case. You hire a CPA mm-hmm. or your accountant to look at the deal analysis, mm-hmm. right? Or you hire somebody like you guys, right? Who can help look at the deal analysis and see if does this make sense. And then you hire the attorney to look at it and to make sure these guys are following the law. Mm-hmm. Because somebody who's not following the law, first of all, if they don't know what they're doing with their deal analysis, then the whole thing's going to fall apart eventually anyway. And if they don't understand the law, then they're putting the whole thing at risk. Because mm-hmm. if the deal does go south, they lose money, then the investors sue. The syndicator is probably going to use the investor money to pay for their legal defense. And then everybody loses except for the attorney.
The reason why I mention this, Jake and Kim, my first investment with a gentleman named Maserati Mike, I invested in a deal with Maserati Mike, and I wish I had a Maserati I could run his ass over, but that's neither here nor there. In 2005, I give him a significant amount of money, and now I know a lot better, but I wish I had known then. I wish I had the proximity of having a group, and he created a syndication. I was doing nothing. I gave him money. And then when all the money went bye-bye, I could have sued. There was just so many mistakes that I made along the way. So anybody out there, if you've got any kind of money, invest in your education.
How close was the asset to the Orange Grove? You're in like Central Florida or something.
I don't know where it was. It's funny. I look back and I say to myself, man, if I had just followed these couple of steps, if I had just done my due diligence, if I had just learned about the asset. And, you know, syndication 15, 20 years ago was not what it is now. Obviously, the Jobs Act wasn't around. It made it a little bit different. And I take it all upon myself. It's my mistake. I didn't do my due diligence. I was uneducated. It's all about being 100% responsible for all of your actions. Even though he was a thief, he was a crook, he was incompetent. That's great. But I made the mistake because I didn't know Kim at the time and I didn't know the laws and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So that's why I keep stressing syndicationattorneys.com to go to that website. Now, Kim, there's one question I really want to ask because it's important for all the syndicators out there and for all of the people who are out there, they're getting compensated to raise capital. Obviously, let's discuss that and let's see what you're seeing in the market and, you know, how can people get around that and how can they...
Yeah, tell us the big like, don't do that.
Right? I'm actually going to do a podcast later this week about that exact thing. The only people that can be paid a commission for mm-hmm. raising money for a private securities offering have to have securities licenses that enable them to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a securities license, you can't earn a commission for raising money for somebody else's deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you're a third party, you don't have the right license. You're committing a felony. Okay. First mm-hmm. of all, and they're going to lose their exemption. So
Joe Schmo is raising money for a deal, found the deal, and then says, hey, Carla, come here. I'm going to, you raise $5 million. I'm going to pay you for doing that. You're going to jail, right? Kim's locking you up.
First of all, the other thing is you can't do it. You're committing a felony. The syndicator can lose their exemption, but you could also be held responsible acting as an unlicensed broker. You could be held responsible for that investment for the entire period of time that money was invested. If it goes wrong, guess who they're coming back after? Hey, this guy sold me the securities and then he's an unlicensed broker. Now they're coming after your assets. Mm-hmm. So,
and is it both Joe Schmo and Carla that are guilty of a crime?
Yeah, both of them, because the exemptions, the securities exemptions, every state has a rule that says, okay, we'll honor that federal exemption if you file a notice in our state telling us that you sold securities under that exemption within 15 days of when you accepted the money. And also, as long as you don't pay any unlicensed brokers for raising that money. So all of a sudden, if you pay somebody as an unlicensed broker and pay them a commission, then you violated that state law. So now you're in violation of the state law because you don't get the exemption at the state level. So then it's not the SEC that comes after you. It's the state securities agencies. And guess what? They all talk to each other once a week. They have these meetings. So if you get busted in one state, everybody else starts searching their records to see if you sold securities.
Joe Schmo and Carla are going to be on the database. They're going to be looking for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so tell us what good looks like here so people know, this is how you're supposed to do it.
So first of all, everybody in management should have the job of raising money and everybody gets compensated for the jobs they do other than raising money. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets compensated.
This is the general partnership we're talking about.
This in any situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because anything to do with raising money, unless you have a securities license, you can't get compensated. You can't get what's called transaction-based compensation. Now, you can become a part of somebody's group and you can earn a part of their, whatever their management team earns. If it's a syndicate or if it's a joint venture, you can get part of the, the ownership interests in that company, but it shouldn't just be for raising money. You have to have other jobs besides.
Or percentage of money raised. That's a flag, right? That's a red flag.
That's when we're calling transaction-based funding. That's exactly what we're talking about. Thank you, Jake, for that. It's when you're getting a percentage based on the amount of money that you've raised, or there's some formula that says, you plug in a number. I mean, I saw another real estate trainer, I will not name, who's pretty well known. And somebody sent me their formula, you plug it in. I raised $1 million and I, do this little, gyration, and all of a sudden I end up with X percent of the management entity. And I said, you can't use that, because if those people were ever questioned on the stand, they're going to say, oh, well, how did you determine how much you earned? Well, because there was this formula.
How much money I brought to the table, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's how my pay was derived. What do you mean? That's like employment contract, yeah. Right?
So you can't do that. And so from the flip side of that is, if you're raising money for other people, you can't get compensated based, you can't be a consultant, right? Or have some kind of an independent contractor agreement that says, oh, I'm going to get paid this. So
I feel like it's more common than we realize out there too. I hear stories about this happening, and I feel like I've actually never seen it, but like I've heard it from you. I've heard it from other people that this is a thing that's happening out there. So everyone, don't do it. It's not worth it. It is not worth it.
It's been happening the whole time I've been a securities attorney. I've been aware of it. I've had clients that used to say, oh, these are my capital raisers. And I'd be like, don't ever say that word again.
This is my minion here of pounds that go out and get it for me, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, some of them, and here's what happens. You're probably not going to get in trouble just for that. But if you get in trouble for anything else, that becomes part of the thing you get.
Hold on, though. Don't even go there. You have the cones, you have the barriers, the roadblocks. Stay in the middle of the road. Life is too short. You don't want to be dealing with this shit. You want to sprint. You want to run. You don't want to be slowing down for this crap. So.
And I do know.
Keep it down the fairway.
I do know somebody who was, doing this kind of in a big way. And they got hauled in front of the SEC, and for 6 months, their life was pretty miserable. And I'm sure they probably spent many hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees trying to unravel it. So you've got to be super careful about how you do this.
Yeah.
Got to give everybody jobs. Everybody gets a job, and so you want everyone in your management team to, if they were ever questioned on the stand, if somebody asked them, what did you do in order to get, earn what you earned? You want them to say, I did this, I did that, I had these jobs, and even you can't pay.
And you don't want them saying it. Yeah. You wanted to walk the talk and breathe it. And that's what they did. Yeah.
They did. They have to be able to demonstrate that they did it. Yeah. I had somebody who had 16 people in management. It's like, you can't do that either, because 16 people, there's not enough jobs for 16 people.
Wow.
That's, I don't think it's defendable. And then they kept asking me, well, how can I defend this? And I'm like, I don't know. Write a list. Jobs, make sure everybody does one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But what can you do?
Janitor, janitor manager, janitor supervisor.
Just call Jacob if you got that question.
Quality control for janitorial operations, right?
Yeah. Well, being investigated by securities regulators is never going to be a good thing. And it's going to put strain on your life, your finances, your relationship, and your reputation. And some of those things may never be able to recover.
Kim, before we go to the short answer questions, let's discuss the self-directed IRAs and the bombshell that is potentially going to happen.
Yeah. So this has been proposed by the congressional Democrats. This is part of the $3.5 trillion reconciliation package. The proposed legislation would limit self-directed IRAs or any IRAs from holding privately placed equity and debt securities and other investments that require the IRA owner to meet certain minimum financial, educational, or licensing requirements. Well, there goes any Reg D offering, because your investors always have to meet some financial, educational, or licensing requirement. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be careful about that. And the other thing, the other bad thing about it is that they're saying that if this passes, that they would require all people with self-directed IRAs who currently hold those types of investments to divest themselves of those investments within 2 years.
Whoa.
That would be disastrous. Whoa. Right?
So what happens if you're in a syndication, you have your money, and then how are you supposed to just get that money out?
You're going to have to recapitalize. You're going to have to syndicate. And
so hold on. So say we do a syndication, right? And then that person's money came from this, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're supposed to, are they, I'm sorry. I just don't even, I can't even understand how that unwinds. Can you break it down in the most simplest form? So like, do you have to sell the asset in order to give them the, are we required to then give the money back?
Sell it, refinance it, or figure out how many, you know, say you have $300,000 in self-directed IRAs in your deal, you might have to bring, you know, sell those interests to cash investors.
What a bunch nightmare. Of bullshit.
What a nightmare.
That's going to be a huge nightmare. So anybody who's doing a current syndication, so this is one of the other reasons you don't want to do it yourself, you better have some risks in your private placement memorandum that say, hey, this could happen if you're investing with a
self-directed. Who's responsible for giving that? Like, are we obligated then to give that money back?
Well, you wouldn't be obligated to give it back, but you're going to be getting, well, if your documents were well written, you wouldn't be obligated.
Well, Kim, you wrote them. Let's talk about this.
Okay. So, no, you're not going to be obligated to give it back, but you're going to get a huge amount of pressure from your self-directed
IRA. Because they need the money back to give back into the pot, right?
Yeah. Because otherwise, then all of their investments in their IRA could be disallowed and taxed.
So this is one reason why I hate 401ks. I hate anything to deal with the government, because they can change the rules. And this is tragic.
This is Wall Street just overstepping, saying we don't like seeing our money go bye-bye. This is crap.
So long-term mindset, everybody. This is a teachable moment right now. I love whole life insurance. Don't want to get into it, but this is why, because it's a different vehicle. They can't touch it. There's different rules. I control the money. I don't want a 401k. I don't want money in there, because when I retire, you're getting taxed dollar for dollar. You don't have control of that money. There's so many reasons why I don't want to do that. I don't want to be into a contract with the government, because they're always changing the rules. You know, the goalposts for the last 18 months have been moved. They keep getting moved. And now this is just another continuation of that. And these people have no idea what the hell they're doing. I mean, this is...
And who's being served? The big guys. Wall Street's being served by this at the hand of the government.
And who is not being served? The middle class. We are not being served, because we're getting crushed, because we have to figure it out. And a lot of these syndications are just smaller mom and pop. There's a lot of smaller mom and pop operations out there that, you know, the bigger guys can figure it out. They can recapitalize. They've got funds. But someone who's got like an $8 million deal and has $2 million of self-directed.
It's pretty gross.
Where's he going to get that? They already overpaid. They can't refi the deal. Good luck selling the deal, making money. You're going to make a big mistake. You're going to take a huge turnaround. So, I mean, is this seem like it's going to pass, Kim? What do you think?
Well, it's in this $3.5 trillion bill that's being bantered around right now by Congress. So, you know, if you don't want it to happen, you need to be contacting your congressman.
The thing is, these congressmen and women, probably like half of them probably don't even realize the implications of the shit that they're pushing through. It's
well, really here's sad. Where it's probably coming from. A lot of this is probably coming from Wall Street, because
of course,
since 2012, the amount of money invested in private offerings has surpassed the amount of money that's being traded in the public markets.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want that money back.
They don't want that gravy train to end. Yeah.
So let's just to piggyback over that, Kim, what about crypto? I mean, cryptocurrency, that's another space that Wall Street's not touching on now. So that compounding with the syndicate money going away, Wall Street's not seeing that trickle effect and that money coming to them. So they're figuring out, how can we get some of the money back? And that's...
Well, these IRAs are investing in Bitcoin and this crap as well, right?
Yeah, I kind of stay away from that space, because I
No, but I mean, there's many
this is Monopoly money, right?
Yeah. But there's a lot of opportunities for the IRA money, and one of them is you can put it into cryptos, right? If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure you can. I mean, it's like Nintendo to me. I don't really understand it, but I'm pretty sure that's allowed. So.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, if you didn't divest yourself of the those types of investments by a certain date, then you would lose the benefits that are associated with your
the tax benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. You would lose all those. Yeah. Wow. So.
Man, they really got your back, don't they, Gino?
Whew. You know. It's all about, you know, what
the not about the let's be honest. It's not
a, money. Wall Street wants the money. Everybody wants the
it's
money.
It's not about the little guy. Let's be honest. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not about the little guy.
You yeah. don't want you have it. Right. Right.
All right. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we're pulling an e-break. We're going to bring this back in. We're going to try to professional up here and get focused. Kim, you've been in the game for a long time. You've seen a lot of different people come and go. What is a tip that you can give for someone starting out that you've seen other investors go through? Maybe it's a scaling tip. Maybe it's a best practice that you saw. Hey, I started with this person early on, and this is what they did to really accelerate their career.
The people that have succeeded long term in syndications have taken as much time finding investors and cultivating relationships with investors and creating that robust database of investors as they have with looking for deals. So if you don't give as much attention to finding and creating your investor database and keeping in touch with those people, then when you get those deals, you're going to have challenges trying to get them filled. The ones that are really, really well at it can raise $10 million in 4 days.
Our master coach, Bill Hamm, says it's his biggest mistake that he's made is not, you know, being attuned and in sync with the investors enough. And then when a deal comes, you got to work harder for it because he hasn't kept up that database. So that's a great, great point. Any books that you've read this year? You got a vast, you know, variety there behind you. Anything that you've read, anything that's made an impact on your life in the last year or two?
Gosh, I can't think of anything right at this moment. Of course, I have read a ton of books, but...
Okay, she's busy writing books, you know, Stay Out of Jail for Syndications by Kim Taylor. Right?
Well, you know, one of my favorite books that I haven't read, well, actually, here, this is the book that I like, Cataclysm, The Earth is Going to End. Maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing. Well, I've got this book by Sam Freshman, which is...
All right.
Hand on it right now, but I do recommend this.
The Big Red Bible, right?
Yeah. If you like my book and you want to get some further reading, read Sam Freshman's book, Principles of Real Estate Syndication. It's a great book. It's one of the books I read early on when I was becoming a securities attorney, and it helped me a lot. So I highly recommend that. Also listen to our podcast. We've done two podcasts with Sam. They're on our website at syndicationattorneys.com. But yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge. And my favorite one ever is the one we did that's called 60 Years of Investing with Wisdom with Sam Freshman.
Long-term, baby. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like wine and cheese, Gino. You get Kim over here and you get Sam over here. You put them together. There's some synergies there. You want them both. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love Sam. Gino, Sam Freshman's two biggest mistakes were?
They were not buying enough and selling too soon.
Yeah, we're a big fan. I'm glad you brought him up. I love what he's done.
Yeah.
Any projects that you're excited about right now besides coming to Multifamily Mastery 4?
Actually, I am talking to another attorney who's been around for quite a long time about starting a new law firm called Business Finance Law. And Ooh. It's really more about, I wanted to call it Startup Securities Law, but startups don't have any money. And so we wanted to be paid. So we decided we'd go after this.
Nothing wrong with that.
We will help some startups too. So,
very cool.
The idea is to help, non-real estate businesses grow their businesses. And if they want to go public, take them public. So, yeah.
We still have time for your old buddies, Jake and Gino, though, if we come, calling, right? Oh, yeah. You'll still take our call, right? You're not going to be too big, right?
No, we'll always take your call.
All right. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
The best way is to go to our website, spend some time in the library. There's so many articles. There's about 50 articles in there. You can get a free digital copy of my book there. There's a tab on the website that says get the book. You can also read the frequently asked questions. You can listen to all of our previously recorded podcasts. We do have a podcast called Raise Private Money Legally. I encourage everybody to sign up for that. And that's the main way. You can schedule an appointment at the website.
Gino, take some.
Jake, it's 2005. In rolls a gentleman with a gold Maserati. I don't know Kim.
Sounds expensive.
The deal looks good. A person with money meets a person with experience. The person with the experience gets the money, and the person with the money gets the experience. And that was me that day, that fateful day. Fast forward 13 years, I'm sitting on a golf cart waiting to go fishing. And we're talking about syndication. We're talking about structuring. We're talking about substantive relationships.
You gave him PTSD,
blah,
Kim.
Blah. And I'm like, I just want to go fishing, damn it. But you know what? Probably the best 2.5 hour call that I've had with an attorney my entire life. And she set us straight. Since then, we've done 3 syndications. She's spoken at all 3 our live events, and she's going to go into the next one. She's come to our boot camps internally. She's educated, and she's helped a ton of our Jake and Gino students. So I just wish I'd met her back in 2005 when Maserati Mike drove into my parking lot. Wasn't that fortunate. But for you all listening to this, there's no excuse after getting off this call. If you're thinking about syndication, the next call is the Kim Taylor. Don't do what I did, everybody.
It would have been G-Wagon Gino versus Maserati Mike, but you didn't have Kim at the time. So that's how it goes. Kim, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
always,
Kim.
Always tremendous value. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.